Please be seated. Open up your Bibles to James chapter 1. I want to just start things off. Thanks to Rich and Annette, they took down all the Christmas decorations while Linda and I were gone. They worked really hard. So I appreciate that for more than one reason that they're. Also, and thank everyone for praying for the funeral. Linda's mother passed away, and so just as a word of encouragement to you, as far as funerals go, it just went excellent. It was just, you know, it really was a blessing in so many ways, opportunity to share the gospel and like that. And as you know, Linda's mother was one of 16 children. And just an added note, she has 52 first cousins. First cousins. And it's like, and we get into second cousins, we're talking about whole cities now. I mean, out there. I told our son Mitch, I said he could never move to West Virginia because his girls could never date anybody. I mean, that's too many. Anyway, but so it went well. So everything went well. I do appreciate your prayers. Gospel got to go out, and you know, it's great to meet so many family. And she lived a nice long life, 95 years old, and Linda was there beside her. So anyway. Thank all of y'all again. We can certainly feel your prayers. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can look into your word and that you speak to us and you tell us things that are beyond our comprehension. And so we thank you for that. And so as we look at this, we ask you to continue to speak to us. And Lord, that we could walk away with this very encouraged about how you're working in our lives. And so, Lord, I ask that you just anoint me that I speak forth your words and words of the Spirit. And I pray each heart would be open to receive the things of the Spirit. So we give you honor and glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Title of the message, Ask God. Ask God. Look at James 1:5. James 1:5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, as we look at this verse, we think about some of the past messages we've looked at, and we've learned that God answers prayers immediately. He immediately answers prayer. He moves with a passion that we get a metaphor of him coming down to earth with, you know, smoke coming out his nose and fire coming out his mouth, just to drive home the point of his immediate response, and then he does answer our prayers. And then it says, we also learn, we ask anything, and we receive whatever we ask. Now, I mean, if I was making stuff up and presenting it, I wouldn't present this, you know. But this is what God says. God is telling us this. And so we need to kind of pay attention, I believe, about our life here on earth and God's working with us on this earth. Now, so we've already talked about all that in the past few messages. Now what we see on top of that, now we see that we are to ask God for wisdom and that he will give it to us. Asking for wisdom, he'll give it to us. Doesn't say he'll think about it. He says he will give it to us. We ask him for wisdom, and he'll give it to us. This is an absolute promise that God will give us wisdom without question and generously. Process that. I mean, just process that for a minute. I believe in the Holy Scriptures. Really? I mean, look at what he says. I mean, you've got to step back and think, my goodness. So, this statement is as true as God's promise to forgive our sins. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins? Then you got to believe this. Because that's where we learn that is in the Scriptures. Okay? So, if you believe that, you got to believe this. You can't pick and choose what you believe, all right? And, or it's, you know, something's off base. And then, you know, if you can't believe one part of the Bible, I wonder, you know, if I'm believing the other part of the Bible, which I'm totally forgiven. am I appropriating that to myself, or do I have some checks there? So, I mean, I say that to be challenging, because this is what the Scripture says. So, okay, so we're looking this morning. I mean, it was so hard for me preparing for this not to just go back and review the last four messages. You know, Brian, I thought, well, okay, they have good memories. they can look at those. So I'm going to try to stick right here to this passage. So the point of it is, you know, how many of you felt like, gosh, I don't know what to do, you lack wisdom? You don't have to raise your hand, all right? Because everybody will raise your hand, you know? And God says, no, if you lack wisdom, God will give it to you generously. It's no issue. So you don't have any issues. You don't have any God. Well, just ask me. I'll tell you, you know. But anyway, we want to look at that and to think about it, because that's an absolute statement. And I keep coming back to that. I mean, just look at the words. Well, he says, you lack wisdom. Okay, well, you do. Ask God. Well, duh. I mean, but then he gives it generously. He doesn't give us, oh, okay, we'll throw him a few nuggets. No, he gives generously. He doesn't hold anything against us. He gives it to us. So here's the way we need to approach life. This is the way we need to approach. God is telling us something here. Now, when I was looking, and this was a question I had. You may not have had the question, but I always had a question about, like, God will give you knowledge and God will give you wisdom. Like, okay, what's the difference? And so I was kind of, you know, I'd think about it and I'd get them crossed over, and I was having a struggle with, well, what's the difference? God gave me knowledge of something and God's given me wisdom about something. And then, I heard somebody say this in a youth group. Okay. Just everything clicked with me. Well, so that's wonderful, you know. So here's an example, okay? So we need to understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Because he didn't say here, he says it other places, but he didn't say here, I'll give you knowledge. He said, I'll give you wisdom. Now, I mean, okay, the whole Scripture, he talks about knowledge and wisdom. But so we need to understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Okay, here's an example. Knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Now, how many of you knew that? I didn't know that. Tomatoes are fruit, just like an apple, you know, and a tomato. And I'm, whatever, you know. That's knowledge. A tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is you don't put tomatoes in a fruit salad. Y'all with me? See, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. Oh, this is tomato. It's a fruit. Okay. Make fruit salad. Put in tomato. You have no wisdom. You know, if you had any wisdom, you would not put a tomato in the fruit salad. So what God is going to teach us, if you're trying to put tomatoes in fruit salad, ask God and he'll tell you. Don't do that, you know. But it's a fruit. I know, but it doesn't go in a fruit salad. That's the difference. Amen? Now, that helps me. I don't know. And God bless the youth group where I heard that, okay, explaining it to me. So we want to look at this. Then God, when he says he'll give us wisdom, he's going to give us understanding of what to do with the knowledge we have. You ever meet somebody with knowledge that has no wisdom? You know, it's just like a bull in a china closet. You know, it's like, so it's wisdom. He's not saying, I'm going to give you knowledge. I'm going to give you wisdom. I will help you to understand what to do so you won't be putting tomatoes in fruit salad. That's what he's telling us. Just ask me. Just ask me, and I'll keep you out of that. Now, we're good? Wisdom. Ask God. I don't have any wisdom. Ask God. Good counseling, you know, technique. I'm just confused. Ask God. Next. No, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, if there's a truth of what Scripture said, no, you need to come to me, and I will reveal it to you. It's wisdom from God. It's not people wisdom. I mean, talks about people wisdom, but this is not people wisdom. Now, so we should be very excited about that. But now it goes on to something very interesting. There is a caveat to this. Remember I preached one time on prayer and just said on this verse, there's no caveats. Ask, I give it to you. No caveats. It's like, whoa. Well, there's a caveat on this one. There's a caveat on this one when you ask for wisdom. And we'll hear the caveat. When you ask for wisdom, God will give you. James 1:6, next verse. But, okay, the words in the Greek is there. Same as the English. Contrast. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Don't doubt. Okay. Don't doubt. Jesus talks about the same things. He talks about faith and asks God, and he uses those things. He says, don't doubt. Don't doubt. Now, when you look at it's a faith and we don't doubt. Now, so we need to understand faith. And, of course, faith that you hear and see, God says something to you through the word or however else. So it's something received from God. It's not something you make up, okay? So it's an understanding of God. Faith ties us to God's heart, okay? Faith ties us to God's heart. In just the big picture, he ties us to his heart. And when we are tied to God's heart, there is not any doubt. Why is there not any doubt? Because we're tied to God's heart. He's going to take care of us. We absolutely know that. We are in tune with God's heart. Therefore, we ask for wisdom and we'll receive wisdom 100% of the time because we are tied to God's heart based on our decision. Okay, God, I'm tied to you. And so when we ask for wisdom, he says he gives it to us. And you know, it kind of comes down to this. And this is what really comes down to. Make a decision and walk in decision. Make a decision and walk in the decision. Do not waver between two opinions. Doubting is proof of unbelief. Oh, I don't know what to do. Yiksa. Ask God. But I don't. The doubting is evidence of unbelief. Now, God's telling us, you know. Sometimes it's like, well, God, that was a good verse until you got to this. Well, Lord, you know. Well, no, you ask me, I'll give you. You doubt, I'm not going to give you anything. If you doubt, doubting is proof of unbelief. And he compares us, doubting people, to waves of the sea. You know, that's how we are. You talk to them, it's like that. He's I'm going to give you anything. This has nothing. Now, this is important. This is really important. It's fascinating. Just something I've seen over the years. This has nothing to do with intellectual capacity, emotional highs, knowledge of doctrine, doing more research. It has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with that at all. It has all to be. It has all to do with commitment and trusting God. Trusting God. I promise you, I mean, if we want to just jump it up and, you know, say some theological Christian professors can have lots of knowledge and doubt. And doubt. Because there's a difference. See, you doubt. It's one thing to preach it, it's another thing to live it, you know. And the professor may not be able to live it, and the lady coming in emptying his trash and mopping his floor doesn't have as much doctrine, but she can live it. And God will work through the cleaning lady and not the professor. See? Because she asks, she believes, he'll work through it. And that's so that's what this is saying. That's what this is saying. So we want to look at this and like, are any of you taking a deep breath? It's like, oh my gosh, don't doubt. You know? If you ask me, don't doubt. Don't doubt. Now, here he goes on. So he's not done. He just comes on. He's not done. And by the way, this will be terribly convicted. Terribly convicting. Is a man or woman of doubt is full of inner conflict. He or she will not receive any wisdom from the Lord. I just process. I'm just full of conflict. Okay, just truck on in your conflict, because you're not going to receive anything from the Lord. See, because your doubt brings inner conflict. That's the reason you have conflict, because you doubt. See, and you're there, and you're not going to like this either. We are not going to like this. I am not going to like this. We are here because of ourselves and our own inner conflict. See, I ask God, but that's not what I'm thinking. You know, I'm just confident. He said, my own confidence, doubt. God, and this is what God says, I'm not going to give you anything, you know. Because he's saying, you really don't want it. You know, you're not going to hear me do what I say. You just doubt. You doubt. So here's the word. James 1:7. The man of doubt. Okay? You don't have to have anybody interpret this verse for you. Okay? The man of doubt. James 1:7. For that person, the man of doubt, must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Okay, why is he not receiving anything? Because he doubts. You know, I ask God in that wisdom, you know, am I living in it or I'm questioning it? You doubt. And he said, okay, you're doubting, can't help you. I mean, that's what it's saying. You think, oh, I hate to say God saying that. He said, no, you're down. I can't help you. I can't help you because of you. Because you doubt. See, our commitment and trust in God will enable us to have deep confidence and face every issue the world throws at us. I mean, that's what it's saying. I mean, and that's where it is. And he's showing us, like, this is the big picture, and this is where it is, okay? Now, I've not run across too many people like this that lived in total doubt. And you know, God bless them. They're with the Lord. And so I can say this and not expect, you know, anything to change. But the only people I ever knew totally like that was Pastor and Miss Milliken, you know, the missionaries that were in the Congo and the 30 years and all that. They're the only people I ever saw that. And I never saw a hiccup. Now, when I met them, they're like upper 70s, you know, and knew them a few years. They were really hard people to complain to. You couldn't complain to them. You just couldn't. And they never went into deep theology about stuff. They just say something and you just, you know. And their comment to me was, oh, isn't this? And they clap like that. They're interesting. They like, remind me of those little chipmunks. Oh, yeah. You know, they really did, and it's like that. And so I said, look at what I said. Oh, such an opportunity for God. Oh, my. Oh, you have such an opportunity. I said, no, listen, this ain't opportunity. The whole thing's crashing on me right now. You don't understand. And they were like tickled to death that I shared. Oh, we'll pray. Oh, God, such an opportunity. You know, like, yeah, that's what I was thinking. But that, and you couldn't, it was the strangest thing. But then they lived it out. You know, they weren't just being silly. They actually lived it out. And, you know, I'll never forget this one thing. Oh, the whole world's crashing down. And, you know, this, you know, dump it. I mean, I only visited like two or three summer. And, you know, I tried to discourage them every time I met them. You know, just telling everything I built up over the year that didn't work. You know, I mean, it's like, and so, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, not much. But, and I remember just, oh, this catastrophic. He goes, my, Satan's busy, isn't he? Oh my, isn't he busy? I suppose. Well, this is just when the weakest Christian get on his knees, he trembles in fear. Let's get on our knees. Okay, here we go again. See, he couldn't, and it's almost like he couldn't comprehend this world. He is so disconnected. Pastor Minner, who knew him very well, who introduced me to them, he said they are the only people he ever met that was totally detached from this world. Totally detached. They lived in heaven. He said they're totally detached. He said the only people, and that's his word, they were detached. But see, this is what this is talking about not doubting. You're not doubting God. What can God do? What will God do? Do you believe God? And they did. And they did. And then they tried to get you to believe God, you know, with things like, oh my, isn't this a wonderful opportunity? You know, and that's just, my first response was never, yeah, it is, you know, but after we prayed. And I've shared this story 100 times, maybe not that, but with y'all, but there was one situation, but I just share it because to show how he lived it, how he lived it, and as a situation really difficult for me, I was going into a meeting, it was awful, and I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do, you know, so I called him, in England, I said, listen, this is a situation, well, like that, guess what he said over the telephone, I didn't need a phone. What an opportunity. You know, I said, listen, no, I'm going under. This is not an opportunity. And he said, I tell you what. And, you know, so you can't respond to that. I mean, what an opportunity. He said, I tell you what. He said, what let's do. This is what we want to do. He says, how about we pray God into that meeting? Well, that's a novel thought, isn't it? He said, he's in England. He said, let's just pray God into that meeting. Okay, so we prayed God, and we use that loosely. He prayed God into that meeting. And you know, when he prayed it, it's like, gosh, it's like he's talking to him, and he's actually telling him to go to this meeting. I mean, it was not a, like, oh, dear God, whatever. Dear God, we pray you in this. And it's like, okay. Then he says to me, okay, you've prayed God into the meeting. Then he says to me, he says, I mean, this is about me. This meeting I'm going to. He says, don't you say one word. That's what he told me. He says, don't you say one word. You just said that. And whatever they do to you, you allow them to do it without saying one word. Now, my thought was, and I won't repeat here what my thought was, like, oh, anyway, blankety blank. But it's like, okay. So I went to this meeting. And so presented this stuff. And say, well, you think I'm not allowed to talk. Not allowed to talk in this man. I'm not going to answer you. You know, and I just nod and like that. And they talk among each other and stuff like that. It's kind of like I wasn't at the meeting. But the meeting was about me. You know, and so when it finished, and it kind of made this circle about, and it says, you know, we can see that there's been some miscommunication here, and so we see this should have been done, and so I'm glad we're here and we can work it out. We appreciate your ministry, appreciate your service. I was told not to talk. I just nodded. I want to say thank. No, I've been ordered not to talk to you guys, you know, like that. And so everybody's happy. Everybody shook my hand, patted me. I didn't say anything. I didn't say nothing. I mean, I said not one. See, when God shows up at the meeting, he can kind of handle it, you know. And what he's saying, Wallace, if you open your mouth, we're done. You're going to screw everything up that God's doing. Just keep it shut. That's what he's saying. But he said it real nice. Do not. And it wasn't. Now, don't talk too much. He said, do not say one word. I didn't say one word. It's totally soft. Walked out and everybody's loving me. And I'm thinking, holy Jesus. Holy Jesus. Somebody told me, says, God's everywhere. You don't pray God into something. You believe, no, you pray God into something. I've seen him show up. You pray him in because he shows up, you know, like that. And the guy's walking out with, who kind of had understanding of this beforehand, and he walked out with me, we're walking out with me, he says, my whole life I prayed that God would just show me one miracle, and I saw it tonight. And I've never said a word, you know. I've always found, the thing that I always found, the common denominator with all my problems is me.
So Pastor Miss, don't say anything. Not one word. Now, but so he's the only person I've ever seen like that. He's the only one. Now, I've seen, you know, there are varying degrees and people approach it like that, but I've never seen. And then I could share you story after story, and you know, and he would share the, and like praying God into this meeting, what's going to happen, there was no doubt. No, this is what's going to happen. You know, like that. They, whatever they do to you, let them do it. Like, don't do this. Don't say a word. Okay, so you see what I'm saying? But when we talk about this, we look at James and we say, well, wait a minute, this is a little over the top. No, it's not. It's not over the top. He says, you watch. This is how you release me. This is how you release me. I'll give you wisdom if you ask. One caveat, don't doubt. Now, when I went into that meeting, I was doubting, you know, like, oh, what's going to happen? But I was obedient. I kept my mouth shut. Okay, so that was working. But I was way more, less doubting when I came out of the meeting. Like, it was like, oh, my gosh. What? Oh, my God. But anyway, that's the point. I just want to share that because sometimes when we read that, it says, God, you're asking us to do something we can't do. He says, no, you can do it. I'm just telling you how to do it. I'm telling you how to do it, all right? So here, that's what we have here. So, and again, well, God, no, listen, don't make excuses for God. That person not, must not suppose that he will receive anything. You doubt, I'm not giving you anything. See, it's like, oh, okay. So what we have here, our commitment and trust in God enable us to have a deep confidence in every issue the world throws at us. Like that, maybe that's no big deal. Just pray God into it and watch him work, you know. And it's a, and so we ask God for wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. We ask him, and he'll tell us what to do. He'll tell us what to do. And sometimes he'll confuse us. Yeah, I'll go this. It's really going to be hard. You go and don't say anything, and just let them do whatever they want to with you. And I don't know if that's wisdom. Not any human wisdom. No, it's God's wisdom. If that's what he tells you to do. But he said, he will tell you. How often will he give us wisdom? Every time. I mean, that's what this verse says. Every single time without exception. Except doubt. Our responsibility is to have the consistency of unwavering faith. Pastor Milken had unwavering faith, and I just did what he told me to, because I had faith in him. I didn't even think it, you know, it's like, good grief. So it's like I had more faith when I walked out of there. Okay, and here's another example of unwavering faith, and it really is the same thing that Pastor Milken was saying, and it's when Nebuchadnezzar threatened Daniel's three friends to throw him into the burning furnace if they didn't worship his idol. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to throw you in this furnace if you don't worship this idol. And what they did, they showed faith without doubt. So, again, it's a picture of what faith without doubt looks like. And they said to Nebuchadnezzar, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. No. You made your choice. No. See, it's the same thing. What if we have a little decision asking, you know, something less than being thrown in the fiery furnace, you know, a little less. That's the same thing. It's the same thing. This is Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. It's the same thing. This is faith without doubt. It's a faith and not doubt in God. Not doubt in God at all. Amen? That's good. That's a good verse. We look. Again, this is today for us today. Now, these men were men of faith and did not doubt. A man of doubt will not, a man or woman of doubt, will not receive anything of the Lord. Now, this is personal processing. Oh, no. Oh, God. You know, inner conflict galore. God says, I can't give you anything. I can't Work through your doubt. I can't give you anything. Now, God goes on and he explains and gives a clear picture of the definition of a man of doubt. Okay, so we have this great verse. Oh, just ask anything in God's name. Okay, yeah, and ask for what, and he'll give it to you. And then he goes through these verses. This is what people who look like that don't. You say, oh my God, I'm looking like these other folks, not the, you know, first verse. So, but it goes on, and he says, all right, let me give you a clear definition of a man of doubt, or woman of doubt. So we're sitting here and say, am I a woman of doubt? Am I a man of doubt? Well, God will let you know here, and we'll look at James chapter 1, verse 8. Okay? James chapter 1, verse 8. He or she, this man or woman of doubt, he or she is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Well, I just had a doubt. I said, no, you're double-minded. Well, no, it was just a little doubt. No, you're double-minded. Come on, God, let up. He goes, no. You're double-minded. Your issue is you're double-minded. All right? And you know what that word literally means? Now, to me, it's just like, this is what double-minded literally means in the original. You're double-souled. Oh, double-souled. You like have two souls, you know? One on God and one on the world. And you're going back between the two of them. You're double-souled. That means you're not one-souled to the God. You don't have one soul towards God. Now we can see why he doesn't answer us. We have two souls. Now it's a metaphorical two souls. We don't have two souls. But he said, no, you're double-souled. I can't answer a double-souled person. I have to have one soul for me. And we have... And double-minded translates good. So it's like, oh my goodness. A doubtful person, when you ask God, is double-souled. They don't have a soul. We don't have a soul totally focused, committed to the Lord. And these people are unstable. Well, it can make sense, doesn't it? One soul, they're unstable. Bonk, bonk, bonk. We said double-minded. No, double-souled. They live in two different worlds at the same time. They're going back and forth. There's so much doubt. They're bouncing back and forth. They are double-souled. And these people, it says, are unstable. Well, yeah. Why? Because they're two souls. Bouncing back. They're unstable. And this is fascinating. It really struck me. These people are unstable in all that they do. Everything in their life is two-souled. There's a constant back and forth. They're unstable in everything. Even beyond one's Christian walk, they're unstable because they're two-souled. See, oh, I love Jesus here, but over here I got to do what all the lost people do, and I do what Jesus, and you're double-souled. And any decision, yeah, it's double-souled. You're unstable in your whole life in everything. Therefore, you make poor decisions, and God won't give you wisdom because you're not single-souled towards him. Oh my goodness gracious. In fact, a double-minded soul, their indecisiveness negates their effectiveness. Y'all write that down. Their indecisiveness negates their effectiveness. They can't be effective. Well, yesterday they were here, now today they're here. You know, you can't trust them with anything. It's kind of what God says. You know, your indecisiveness negates any effectiveness. See? Because you're a person of doubt. Now I'm going to add something here that is helpful. Because all of you are like going, oh my God. It's just, you know, I mean, if you're like me, it's like, Lord. Lord, I mean, it's like, holy cow, I don't think God will ever speak to me again. I mean, it's like, oh my. But it's like, okay, wait a minute. This is for our edification. This is to teach us so that we can focus and grow in the things of the Lord. And growing in faith is not the same thing as doubting. Okay, you got that? Growing in faith is not the same thing as doubting. And in Matthew 9:23, it says this. It's fascinating. And Jesus speaks. Matthew 9:23 says this. And Jesus said to the man, "All things are possible to the one who believes." Now there's Jesus. He's saying the same thing. What the messages we looked at the last 3 weeks, he's saying the same thing. The apostles and Jesus are saying the same thing. All things are possible to the one who believes. This is just what James said, right? Same thing. And I go back to, do you believe Jesus died on the cross for forgiveness of your sins? Amen. Then you got to believe this. And it's repeated over and over. Well, he might have said no. He might have said maybe. Maybe this is wrong. That's not what it says. That's what it says. All things are possible to the one who believes. Now, we could add from James and say, and doesn't doubt. You know? They all say the same thing. Okay. Jesus said, all things are possible to the one who believes. Immediately, the man cried out, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Okay, that's my memory verse. "I believe, help my unbelief." Now, understand the difference here. And it's really important for us to understand the difference here with what James is saying. This man is not oscillating between belief and unbelief. That's not what he's doing, okay? This man is not asking about two directions and how to go one or the other and oscillating between the other. That's not what he's asking. See, that's not what he's asking. He never took his eyes off the Lord. And he said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." He's asking to grow in faith. Total difference. "God, I don't understand. I don't get it. God, I believe. But help my unbelief. Help my unbelief." See, this is not unbelief. This is asking God for wisdom. See the difference? That's all this guy did. I've heard people preach on this, that it counters James, you know, and because this guy was too minded and I believe it. But no, he never took his eyes off Jesus. "God, I don't understand it. I believe you and want to help my unbelief." He asked for wisdom. That's what he did. And he to grow in faith. Huge difference. So it's like, "God, I don't understand," you know, and it's like when Pastor Milton talked to me and told me what to do, I had a lot of confidence in his faith. But inside I'm going, "God, I believe, but help my unbelief because I'm not where he is." You see what I'm saying? So this should be an encouragement to us. There's a big difference between growing in faith and asking God to help our unbelief so we can grow in faith, which questioning God and doubting between the things he told us. Big difference, okay? Everybody got that? That's hugely important, you know. And we walk together, so we grow in faith, you know. Some of us have, you know, grown in faith in other areas. We walk with people, and we all grow together as a church and pray together as a church. Nothing wrong with that. There's no doubt in that. Not unbelief. This is just asking for wisdom. Now, okay, I'm going to wrap up kind of with this. As we look at these verses, and by the way, I'm going to confess to you, as I preach through these messages the last three, four weeks, I mean, I've been really convicted, and it's really helped my prayer life. It really has. I'm just processing, oh my gosh. And it's really given me a lot more confidence in prayer and in putting all these things together and meditating on them. So it's a place where we all need to grow, but it's in reality and how to live in this life God is telling us. Now, so and the same here. All these things are interacting. They're not mutually exclusive. They're all complementary. They're all working together. And God said, "I'm giving you all the details in these books so you can understand when he tells, I will answer whatever you ask." So what we have here, God is telling us, a summary here, don't live like the world. That's what, don't live like the world. Now, it's not do or don't. Oh, do this, don't do it. That's not what this is. Don't live like the world, like in just unbelief God doesn't exist. Don't live like the world. The world lives like God doesn't exist. Don't live like that, all right? Don't live like an unbeliever. Don't live like an unbeliever. Don't live like God doesn't exist. Ask God. believe, he'll answer. I mean, we're different from the world. The world's going to come against us, constantly come against us, and never give us any encouragement, okay? But we ask God, we're not going to live like the world. We're not going to live like unbelievers. Now, as Christians, we are different from the world. Why are they doing that? That's the silliest question you ever could ask. They're doing that because they don't know the Lord and they're being guided by Satan and his dominions. That's why. That should be the easiest question to ask. The question is, what is the church doing? You know, not live like a believer, counter to the world, trusting God to move in a mighty way, and say, hey, nothing gets so bad that, like, all right, I'll just pray God into it, you know? I'll just pray God into it. That's our normal thought and thinking, and we'll see God works. We trust the God of all creation who answers our prayers, and who generously gives us wisdom. That's a truth. That's an absolute truth. Okay? Like that. Now, here we are to be an encouragement to each of you. And one of the reasons we do this is because we and our families have already made a decision. You want me to share with the decision you've already made? We and our families have already made the decision. And what we do, we confidently declare, and I want you to look at Joshua 24:15. It's kind of summarized here, Joshua 24:15. And we go, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. There you go. I mean, this is a good meeting around the kitchen table. The kids, you know, and he says, choose to stay whom you serve, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're different from the world, and you have to be one souled to say that and live it out. If you're not one souled about it like that, you can't live it out, and because God's not going to give you any wisdom. He's not going to give you any wisdom because you have two souls. Whoa. Okay, so if you lack wisdom, you ask God, and what will he do? What will he do when you ask God for wisdom? He give it to you, period. Why he not do? That's that. Do you trust who you're asking, the God of the creation of the world, spoke and created all things? Jesus said, nothing's impossible to you. Paul says, nothing's impossible to you. James says, nothing's impossible to you. John says, nothing's impossible to you. So, well, really? I mean, they're so repetitious. I mean, they could condense this whole thing. You know, you cover this, and I'll cover this, and, you know, we'll have a Reader's Digest thing of the Bible. But they just repeat it. See, well, okay, there it is. Choose this day whom you will serve. But it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a decision. One soul. That's a one soul statement. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this Bible. We thank you that you reveal stuff that we would never know. I mean, we would never know. You reveal stuff to us that goes completely against this world. You reveal stuff to us that really goes against, like, in the world we live in. I said, God, how are you going to do this? This is, man, I feel like I'm out on a limb on this thing. But you keep telling us these things. And Lord, you're bringing us to a point of belief where you can take us in even in greater areas and have a greater message, that you're constantly stretching us out as our teacher, Lord, and you're teaching us through these scriptures. And Lord, you know, and I just speak, you know, read this, a double-souled person would read this and say, well, this doesn't apply to everything, and then other things could happen, and this can't, and that's nothing but doubt, and therefore that person doesn't receive your wisdom. And the only difference with us and that is that, God, yes, you can do it. This is what you show me. And I'm asking for wisdom. I know you will give it to me. So you're in a mess. God, give me wisdom. He will give it to you. He'll give it to you through the Scripture. He'll give it to you through prompting of the Holy Spirit. He'll give it through, you know, maybe through other believers, what they share. But He will give it to you. And when He gives it to you, you'll go, that's what the Lord wants to do. He'll confirm it in your spirit. See? He promises to give you wisdom. Just don't doubt that He will give you wisdom. Amen? Amen. Oh, dear God, we thank You. I pray anointing on each person, Lord. And You give us these things. Thank You that You push us beyond. You reveal things to us we just would never understand. You take us to a place where You can pour out Your blessing upon us. This is for our good, not for our hurt. It's for our good that we know the God we serve, and we know He's active in our lives now, and we know He gives us wisdom today. We thank You, dear Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you.